Next session will be done by Mr. Jimmy D from Urban Airship. The title is Helium Push Notification Architecture.
Can you hear me? Apparently you can. Good. There we go. Well, good afternoon. My name is Jimmy D. I'm an engineer with Urban Airship. If you're not familiar with us, we are a software company based in Portland, Oregon, and here in San Francisco. And we have a range of SaaS offerings for mobile software mobile application development revolving around in-app purchase and push notifications. And today I want to present to you our Helium push notification service. So Helium is a mature, robust product. It's been deployed for some time now on Android. Push notifications have become a part of the fabric of mobile life. They're critical to the business strategies of quite a lot of companies that have contact with the internet these days. And with Helium, Urban Airship has a track record of easy implementation by many clients. I mentioned ESPN, also Glue, Living Social. There are quite a lot of them you can see on our website. And we have recently extended the reach of the Helium client into the Linux desktop with an open source offering, and we're working on Tizen integration. So anybody with a smartphone has seen a push notification. I think everyone knows what they are, but why do you care? What's so important about them, and what can you do with Helium? Well, the first and foremost, the most important thing is that Helium clients are always connected via persistent TCP connection back to the Helium cloud service, which means that you can deliver prompt notifications to a user's device even when they're not in the app looking, even when they're not looking at your app. The push notifications provide a separate high-profile channel directly to the user. Even if the user hasn't thought about your app in some time, you can pop something up and say, here's some content, here's something critical, here's something that you might be interested in. Using Helium, you can send notifications directly to an individual client. We call that unicast push. You can also make a broadcast push, which is to all instances, all installed instances of your application that have opted in for push. And by analogy with unicast and unicast and broadcast, we also have what I sometimes call a multicast push, which is we also call it a segmentation service that you can send to only subsets of installed devices based on tags that are programmatically applied to devices by the application or by current device location as well. Notification payloads. When you send a push notification, you're often sending a message, a text message that pops up for the user to see, but when the user follows that, when they tap it to see what you're talking about, you usually want to take them back to your app, but the example that I often use is a news application that sends breaking news pushes, and when the user taps a push notification, a breaking news push, you want to take them not just to the home page of the app, but to the relevant story, whatever the news is that you're pushing, so that you can always add extra items into your payload that your application can make use of. Badges are the little numbers that you see at the bottom of an icon, an application icon that tell you how many unread messages you have. You can manipulate those directly in the message payload, or you can set them to auto-increment. You can brand your push notifications with your company's or your application's logo. You can customize the sounds. You can even customize the vibration pattern that that your app will use when presenting its push notifications to the user. Then in addition, the user can customize their experience with preferences, interface. They can disable or enable pushes altogether for a given application. They can also manipulate aspects of push. They can enable or disable sound and vibration. And we also have what we call it a quiet time, which is a range of time, a clock time every day, during which push notifications are not allowed to make noise or vibrate. So if you don't want to be disturbed, you can simply say, do not disturb at this time every day. Publishers publish using a REST API. We also have a web portal that allows you to test push notifications. You can either manually push either to a single device, all devices, to a tag, and so forth. And in addition, on the same web portal, you have access to a lot of analytic reports data, statistical data regarding number of pushes sent, number of opens, opt-ins, opt-outs, that sort of thing. So at this point, I'd ideally like to do a demo. We have an app that runs on a Tizen phone, and I can send pushes to it, but you're not going to be able to see it here. We have a really nice table-mounted camera in our office that you can put a phone and display it. I also have a demo on my laptop I could show you, but it doesn't have VGA output. So I'm afraid I'm just going to be demo-less. Anybody who's interested, and I encourage you all to stop by our booth, which is right over here, after the talk or tomorrow, and get a demo and take a look at what we've done. So what do people do with push notifications with Helium? Dictionary.com sends a word of the day. It's a broadcast to all opted-in users. They get the same push every day. And Dictionary.com is an ad-based application, and the point of the push is basically to drive people back to the app. Every day at the same time, Bing, it pops up, and there's an interesting word, and you have to tap it to go view the definitions, and then you go see the ads and so forth. The Democratic Party uses push notifications to inform volunteers and interested voters of events and campaign developments. The ESPN app allows you to opt in to push notifications for breaking news regarding certain sports or individual teams or whatever. You can go in and say, you know, whenever the 49ers win or whatever, I want to get notified, or whenever there's information about a specific team or an individual sport, you'll get sports scores as they throughout a game and breaking news whenever it occurs. Tapulous uses it in a more social manner to inform users when their friends have maybe posted a new high score or something like that. And all these things tend to drive users back to the application and bring the application high into a user's mind, even when they're not interacting with it otherwise. Pardon me? That would be another one. So go into the nuts and bolts a little bit. The simplest possible use case is a unicast push. It's a push to an individual ID. The item on the right, labeled client, represents a mobile device, like a Tizen phone or something, running a push-enabled client application that's built on the Helium library. Clients are identified by an APID or Airship push ID, which is nothing but a UUID that's locally generated on the device the first time that it connects, and then that UUID, that APID, is registered with Helium's Neon registry service. When the registration succeeds, the client gets a response from Neon and is referred to a group of Helium servers that it makes a persistent connection to one of those servers and uses the others for sort of backup when it loses a connection and so forth. Once this initialization procedure completes, the client receives its APID, its push ID, back from the Helium library. And typically what the next step would be to post that APID back to the application publisher, which is shown on the left, to your own proprietary network, because the user probably has a login or something on your network that you've associated with the device. And you want to be able to associate the push ID that's been generated now with the user's identity on your network. When the application publisher, when the time comes, when an event occurs that warrants a push notification, the application publisher connects to Helium using a REST API and simply specifies the APID to receive the push, and the notification is delivered over the persistent connection to the client. So to reiterate what I just said, clients generate the APID locally, which is just a UUID, and they're registered with the NEON registry service when the app first initializes. And then whenever the app connects, NEON directs you to one of several Helium servers, and you establish a persistent TCP connection. And then publishers use a REST API to send pushes. But pushes can go to an individual APID, as I was just showing. And as I mentioned before, you can also send broadcast pushes. You can send to all connected, all opted-in instances of your application. You can also send to clients by tag. And a tag is nothing more than a string that's associated with the device by your application, often in response to a user's actions. For example, this is a very simple example, a couple of examples. The bottom illustrates a broadcast push, and you have a news app, for example, that's pushing out breaking news, and everybody gets the same breaking news, perhaps, and all connected clients simply get that. You simply tell it, I want to send a broadcast, and all clients get, it's repeated out to all clients. In the top one, I've imagined a pet application, you know, for buying pet food or finding services for your pets or something, and perhaps the application asks you, do you have a cat, do you have a dog, and so forth, and it would possibly associate a tag like cats or dogs with your device, and then when we send it, if you send a push with the tag cats, it doesn't go to that device on the far right that only has the tag dogs, but the other ones to get it. And it's not the same tag-based methodology, but we also have a location, push-to-location service, which uses a similar, it doesn't use tags, but it's a similar sort of idea. So that's the server side of the Helium stack. Now, as I mentioned, we've recently, this is deployed on Android, but we've recently recently been developing an open source push architecture for Linux desktops that's built on Dbus and other open source sort of generic components. In the case of Android, we release a jar file that it's just a library that you build into your app, and what that means is that every the push client code is entirely in application space, and what that means is that if you have multiple Helium clients on the same device, they all have separate connections back to Helium. Our Linux-based push architecture introduces a push daemon, which is a system component that centralizes communication on the device or desktop back to the Helium stack, and allows you to have a single connection that multiple applications share. And then it uses Dbus to communicate with desktop components. And the use of the system service helps maximize persistence of the connection. Its system services run a lot more reliably than, say, Android services, application services. Then in addition, we've built some JavaScript bindings we've built a web runtime plugin with JavaScript bindings that allows you to develop easily web applications or browser extensions using HTML5 and JavaScript that are push enabled. So the way that this looks, the way that it works, what we were just talking about before is all off on the left in that little cloud. The Helium service is over there, and so the push daemon is the central component. This is an open service that has an API that allows you to build your own plugin and push to the push daemon. If you have an alternate push stack that you want to use, an alternate push service, you can certainly do that. We provide a plugin that's built on our proprietary Helium library. The push D has some storage that maintains state involving the client registrations and user preferences and customization and badging, that sort of thing. And all communications with desktop components is via Dbus, so those things on the right, there's a couple of apps, and then when it comes time to generate a native notification to pull up one of those things in the tray that says, here's your notification or whatever, that and then launching applications when a user taps the notification, that is all done through Dbus. Web clients, So web clients run in a browser. They connect to Dbus using a C++ client API. This is part of the PushD package. You can build a C++ application if you want, but it's easier, generally speaking, to build a nice application in HTML5 and JavaScript. And so we have we've built a push plugin on that client API, and that generates JavaScript bindings that can be called from the client's application. But even though those bindings are still a little low level when it comes to the JavaScript side. So in addition, then we also have a jQuery plugin called jQuery.push, which is dramatically simplifies writing HTML5 push-enabled notifications to the point that if you want to write a very simple push-enabled application that only displays the push text, you don't have to write one line of custom JavaScript. You can just do everything through custom HTML attributes and tags. But at the same time, we maintain full JavaScript flexibility. If you want more than the easy stuff, you can go in and write your own JavaScript and manipulate everything directly. And this all integrates well with jQuery and allows us to produce a standard open source JavaScript push API for push notifications in JavaScript. So a little sample of this. Basically, clients, to begin with, as I mentioned, the PushD is an open system, so you can have other push providers besides Helium on your device, on your system, and you identify which push provider you want by specifying the push provider name meta tag up at the top. This is all just part of your HTML markup. The next two tags represent credentials for our Helium service. When you connect, you have to actually provide you have to tell it which application you are and so forth. At the bottom, you simply include this jQuery.push.js script, and it asynchronously and automatically registers for you and then notifies you when the registration is complete. It will let you know your push ID, and it will substitute push messages in the text as appropriate in the markup. And the way that's done is simply by identifying certain text elements in the markup, like spans, for example, that you give them a special HTML class. In this case, push message is the class, and anything with the class push message gets updated. Its text is changed to match the text of the push notification whenever it's received. And this is an example with three different spans on the same page that are all styled differently. Simply, that's all influenced through by that custom HTML5 tag data push style on the right. You can tell it you want a timestamp or you want it to be highlighted briefly when it updates and so forth. In addition to the push message text, there are some other push-related fields. The APID, the push ID that's generated, is returned to you by the push daemon when you connect, and that can be substituted also in your markup using this class. You can also substitute the time of the last push message, the timestamp. And if all that's not enough for you, you can go down into JavaScript and you can catch certain events that are generated. All this stuff is, this is all the stuff that we were discussing before. You register with Helium and get back your push ID. You receive push notifications asynchronously. You can customize the appearance and other sounds and vibration patterns of your push notifications all through JavaScript. And you can also access the user's preference, the preferences API through JavaScript. All this can be done. And there's a couple, we even generate some JavaScript events like push registration complete, notification received, and so forth. So you can do all this manually and programmatically. And you haven't even gotten to the 15-minute mark, and I'm done. Questions? Comments? Anybody have a mic? Oh.
For jQuery push plugin, do we need any minimum JavaScript version, like jQuery 1.4.6.js, or do we have a specific jQuery JavaScript for Helium?
This is all very new. It's not released yet. I think we were using 1.7, jQuery 1.7.1 in development. I don't anticipate that there will be any specific, I mean, there's no specific feature of jQuery that we're using, so I don't anticipate that it would be incompatible with a previous version, but...
Are you using the jQuery namespace, the object, that push, which
yes.
have a separate library that
right.
depend
yes, that's...
on the core jQuery library?
Because in one of, yes, means... agree with him. So what I saw that you are using a jQuery.object something. So that is not with the jQuery which is currently providing. So is it an internal Helium feature which is going to be unbanned jQuery or?
Oh, you're talking about, you're saying that the this that version doesn't match the jQuery version that's distributed with Tizen?
Right.
Yeah, that particular part, the web runtime stuff, the jQuery and JavaScript stuff, hasn't been fully integrated into the Tizen work yet. So that's why it disagrees. But we have that on Linux in general. So. Would you mind using the mic?
So how do we implement the web runtime? Is it an API plugin or?
I'm sorry, is it a what?
Is it an API plugin?
Well, this is very new work, and that's the web runtime piece is probably the least mature of what I've shown you, and I'm not really prepared to talk about how we're doing that at the moment. So,
okay.
I apologize. Yes.
What's your maximum
payload
size?
I think at the moment 64K, but I'm not even certain about that. Typically, the payloads are text. They're not giant. We do actually have another product built on top of push notifications called Rich Push that allows you to, effectively what you do is you push and then you attach a URL and then we store some rich, like, you know, HTML content or something that can be much bigger. And then we have a means of doing that on top of that. So, but I believe, well, I'm not certain of the actual max. I'm sorry, I didn't understand. I didn't hear.
That we are sending in a
push. Would you mind, could you hand him the microphone? Or like, sorry, my hearing isn't always that great.
So in a payload, and can we, like when we are sending the push notification, so can we like provide the framework that, okay, this is the max length we need to send, and like, or something like we are having a raw data, like I just grab from the some HTML page and then sending through the payload. So can we have some max or min length something?
Well, I'm not certain that many people do. You know, I think people don't send giant payloads through push notifications that with Helium anyway. I haven't seen a lot of that. But typically, I think what you get is an array of extras you can provide. So you can always put in a URL or something on your server and then go back and retrieve it or something like that. So you can always find ways to transmit more data if you want to send a lot of data, like a video or something like that. But ordinarily, I mean, when you send a push notification, it simply pops up a little window and says, here's some text, and you tap it, and it takes you usually to your application. So there's not much need to, you know, to embed, say, an entire video in or something like that in the payload. And as I mentioned, we have a product, and it's generally sort of a general mechanism. You can always just add URLs in to your payload and then retrieve data that way, retrieve other payload pieces.
So I saw your website, you have a lot of customers. Is there opportunity for Tizen apps to be rapidly developed using some existing mobile apps that are delivered by your customers. So, for example, Groupon and Living Social are customers of yours right now. If you wanted to have push notifications on your Tizen client, could you quickly write an app that receives those push notifications and then provides the same updates or pushes that they currently deliver to phones?
I think the answer is yes. I'm not certain exactly what you're asking. So an existing client, like one of the ones you mentioned, Living Social or Groupon or something like that, so they have their iOS apps, their Android apps, and now there's Tizen, and we want to quickly build the same, more or less the same app.
Right.
Well, we expect that they'll do that with HTML5 and JavaScript, and we think that the push piece is very easy. So how easy it is to take an Android app and adapt it to a web app is, you know, development work. But
okay.
How do you guys do geolocation pushes?
How do we do them?
Yeah, what kind of information do you store? What kind of services do you use?
I don't know all that much about it. We use the native location services on the device, and we associate location information with each device, with the APID in this case. We might have a location-based demo at the booth. Can we do a goat demo or something like that? We probably could do a location-based demo, but you can push by any. If you look at, I'm not very familiar with this work, but if you look at something like OpenStreetMap, you know, they have all kinds of. I think basically any polygon that contains the device becomes in effect a tag on the device. So you can push by zip code, you can push by state of California, you can push by latitude and longitude, you can push by, you know, whatever. You know, if we're here, you probably could push to the Hyatt Regency or something like that. I'm not certain, but. Yes?
Would you please use mic?
There is a position, a connection between the client and the server. How chatty is this connection?
How
chatty?
Chatty?
Yeah.
How much traffic is on it?
Yeah.
That sort of thing. Well, I mean, you get a couple of hundred bytes every time you receive a push notification, probably. So, you know how often you receive push notifications on your phone, maybe every time you get an email or something like that. So, does that address your question? There is. There's a 2-byte packet that's sent every 3 minutes or something like that. It's a very small amount of data.
Thank you, Jimmy. Let's applaud Jimmy D. Thank you.